Creator God, we ask you to open our eyes that we may see the Christ in each other and so relate to each other as brothers and sisters. Open our eyes, O God, that we may hear your word and that word would influence our lives. Open our lips, that we may speak only that which is pleasing to you, words that build up each other. Open our hearts, O God, that we may experience your grace, and that grace will be sufficient for us. For we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
I preach you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our theme in the parish this year is living our core values. And what we decided we will do is every month we will talk about a different core value. And of course, the one for this month, January, is love. And last Sunday, we looked at love as the relationship between the Father, God the Father, and God the Son, reflecting on God's affirmation at the baptism of Jesus. This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I am well pleased. And so today we have the second presentation on love, and it is entitled The Covenant, an expression of love. The covenant, an expression of love. In biblical terms, a covenant could be described as an agreement between two parties based on an initiative of love. It is usually the love between two individuals that causes them to enter into a covenant, a bond, or an agreement. And this agreement is sealed with vows, each party having equal privileges and equal responsibilities, and each party making a pledge to carry out their individual roles. And so the church teaches us that marriage is a covenant relationship where two parties, one male and one female, moved by their love for each other, decide to enter into a union, a covenant, where they commit themselves to living together in love for the rest of their lives. And so in marriage, if you look at the service in the prayer book, it begins with a promise. The two individuals promise to love each other, to comfort, honor, and protect, and forsaking all others, be faithful to the other as long as they both shall live. And this promise is accompanied by the vows that they make to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish for the rest of their lives according to God's holy law. And so the covenant relationship involves a promise, and it is sealed with a vow or an oath, and its foundation is love. And love, that love and that vow and covenant and promise carries with it a pledge of faithfulness. Each individual pledges to be faithful to the vows that they have made. And so, as individuals enter this covenant of marriage, the love between them has to be nurtured so that it will grow. There is an increased understanding of each other, and there is also the challenge of communication, being able to share their thoughts, their dreams, their ideas with each other. And of course, that covenant of marriage also includes compromise. Sometimes you have to give way to the other person's point of view for various reasons. And there is also, of course, commitment to the relationship. A relationship that is not only based on love, but based on trust. A relationship that involves sacrifice. Husband and wife are called to make sacrifices for each other. And all of this is done in the context of faith in God, because we quickly will recognize that we cannot be true to this covenant without God's presence with us, without God giving the individuals the love, the gifts and graces that they need in order to be faithful to the covenant, the agreement to live together as husband and wife. And of course, in the covenant of marriage, we recognize that when individuals are faithful to the promises and vows that they made, they are blessed by God. They are blessed in varieties of ways which, even before they entered into the covenant, they never would have imagined. And so we could ask ourselves, why is the God of love and faith in God essential for the success of the covenant of marriage? Why is it that we need God's help, God's presence, God's guidance, and God's direction in order to be faithful to that covenant of marriage? And if we look at the Old Testament, we will see that the answer is there before us. Why do we need God? Because God is the source and the origin of the whole idea of a covenant. It was God who initiated a covenant relationship with humankind and the rest of creation. It is God who began this whole process of making agreements based on love with humankind. If we look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, at the beginning, at creation, God said, "Let us make humankind in our own image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and all the wild animals of the earth, and over every living thing that creeps upon the earth." And the writer of the book of Genesis says, "And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And notice the difference between God's covenant and the covenant that we make, for example, in marriage. God's covenant is initiated by God alone. We can refer to it as a unilateral covenant, whereas the covenant of marriage is initiated, is brought together by two individuals agreeing on something. So that God, out of love, initiated this agreement between God and humankind so that we can have a special relationship with our Creator. So the whole business of covenant began with God's covenant relationship with humankind at creation. And so in the covenant with God, God is the initiator and we are the recipients. God does not wait to ask us if we want to be a part of this. God calls us to be a part of it. And we are called to accept what God offers to us, to keep the demands that God makes of us, and to receive the resulting blessings that God is prepared to give us, because we understand that God is acting out of love for us. God loves humankind. God loves God's creation. And so God initiates this relationship. And John 3:16 puts it all together in one sentence for us. God so loved the world that God gave God's one and only Son. Jesus, a part of that new covenant. And so when we look at God's relationship with Israel in the Old Testament, we see that God initiates a relationship, a covenant relationship, after the flood with Noah, his wife, his sons, and their wives, and all the living creatures that emerge from the ark. After the flood, Noah, in thanksgiving, built an altar and offered sacrifices to the Lord. And God was so pleased with Noah that God said, "I will never again curse the ground because of humankind, nor will I ever again destroy every living creature as I have done." Then God said to Noah and his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal on the earth with you. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by waters of a flood to destroy the earth." That was God's promise. And God gave Noah and his descendants a sign for that promise. And the sign of that covenant is the rainbow. Every time we see a rainbow, we can have the confidence that God would never again destroy every living creature on the earth with a flood. And so we see in the Old Testament the continued loving relationship between God and selected individuals in God's world. God chose Abraham because of Abraham's faithfulness. God entered into a covenant with Abraham, called Abram at first, and his descendants forever. What was the promise? God in love promised Abraham a rich future with descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky. Even though when God was making that promise, Abraham was an old man and his wife Sarah had passed her childbearing years. So God promised Abraham an abundance of descendants. God promised Abraham and his descendants a place where they would live together and become a nation. You cannot be a nation unless you have land. You cannot be a nation unless you belong somewhere. And so God promised Abraham the land of Canaan, which was the most fertile land in the then known world. God promised to protect Abraham and his descendants. And what was their part of the agreement? They would be obedient to God. They would offer sacrifices to God. They would be faithful to God, and therefore they would receive God's blessings. And so once more we see that the covenant, which is based on love, demands commitment, faithfulness, trust, and of course, sacrifice. And that is the kind of response that God requires from those who would be faithful in a covenant relationship with God. And we see it repeated throughout the Old Testament. God makes a covenant with Jacob, someone who we can only describe as a rascal. Jacob was covetous. He was deceitful. He was a manipulator. But God reached out to Jacob in love. We see God initiating a covenant with Moses and the children of Israel after they were released from slavery in Egypt. And God giving them the Ten Commandments so that they could be faithful to this agreement with God in love. God renewed the covenant with David, with the kings of Israel who came after David, with the prophets. God would reach out to them in love and make the promise to them that they would always be God's people. But God required faithfulness. And of course, as we study the Old Testament, we see that Israel, for the most part, was not faithful to God. And so God would enter into a new covenant so that God always initiates these agreements, these arrangements with humankind. God would send God's one and only Son to be the one who would mediate like Moses and David and Abraham before him, this agreement with God the Father. And so Jesus would be the one who would make the sacrifice so that all of us today could be a part of that agreement out of love to be God's people. And so really, we should not have any doubt that God loves us, because God has invited us to be a part of this loving agreement between God and the world that came into being through the death of God's Son on the cross. And so we must see ourselves as a covenant people. We enter into that covenant at our baptism, and we are called to be faithful to God. What does God desire of us? God simply desires of us that we use the gifts that God has given us, we use them with love for God's people. And if we are using them with love, it means that we are using them unselfishly. We're using them without any ulterior motives. We're using them simply because we are striving to be faithful to this God who loves us so much that he would give his Son to die for us. How many of us would give a son to save the life of someone else? In fact, if we have sons, we hope that we never have to make that decision. But God gave God's Son freely out of love for us. And we must understand that as people of the covenant, we have to make a commitment to God. We have to be in constant touch with God so that we can know and understand what is God's will for us, so that we can be obedient, so that we can do God's will. Because as part of the covenant, that is what we are committed to do, God's will. And we also have to strive to be faithful to God, to keep God's law. And Jesus makes it so much less complicated for us. When he, you know, we don't have to remember all the Ten Commandments. We just have to remember that Jesus said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you." And we can sit and study the way Jesus has loved us as we study the Gospels, and as we see Jesus reaching out to respond to human need in every situation, every type of need, whether it was physical, emotional, or spiritual, Jesus reached out in love to bring relief, to bring healing, to bring understanding, to help people to experience the love of God through him. And that is what we are called to do. If we are to be faithful to this covenant into which God has called us, God has initiated it with us, and we are called to be faithful. So we have to commit to using our gifts for the benefit of God's people. And if we are faithful to that commitment, God will bless us. God will bless us in ways that we could never imagine. and whether we recognize what God is doing as blessings or not, we have the assurance that God will continue to bless us. And therefore, we have to look and recognize that when we experience what we think are good things, they are blessings. And when we experience what we think are bad things, they are also blessings that we do not yet understand, or blessings that have not yet come to fulfillment. So we have to always bear in mind that God, out of love, has called each of us into a special relationship with God. I will be your God, and because of Christ, you are my children. You are my child. And of course, God would desire us to be faithful to that covenant. How? By loving God and loving each other. So the whole arrangement and the whole purpose of our being, our existence, is love. And we have to acknowledge that, and we have to commit ourselves to living by God's code of love. The Lord be with you.